Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Charles Davis was in the stadium. Let's ask him about, you know, Chris, you just brought it up, Charles Davis, NFL on CBS. Charles, what is it like in these stadiums without fans calling games? Give us a sense for that.
Strange. Weird. I've heard coaches call it eerie. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it's definitely different. I mean, just driving into the stadium when there's no real activity. You know, we've all been in a car, and you're like, okay, this is the address, but there's no one here, right? And you're like, am I lost? Am I in the wrong place? So all the things that your natural rhythm, the natural flow of what you've done for years, that's off. But once you start the game and you start calling it, you know, you call it, right? You do the job. You know, just like the players who are playing. And what I've been really heartened about, not that I guess expected anything different, but for years, how many times have we heard fans say, you know, I just want guys who play for the love of the game. Now, we realize they're still playing and getting paid, all right? I'm not stupid, all right? I'm not naive. But they're going out playing like it's like there's 65,000 in the stands. I mean, I don't see any of that change where, you know, the crowd, no crowd, I couldn't get motivated. They blame themselves if they don't play well because they know there's not going to be a crowd. It's up to us to do it. So I've been actually heartened by that, and I've seen that across the board in all the sports, right, frankly.
What was your biggest takeaway from the Steelers win yesterday, Charles?
It's a good football team. I thought it going in. I had no doubt in my mind, really, that they were good. The air around the place is, you know, when Ben's healthy and able to play, have you seen Juju Smith-Schuster this happy in a year?
Not last year. No, he was miserable last year, and it showed in his body language, Charles.
He is on that beat every play right now. I mean, that's just a very happy man. But what I've really been impressed with is you can see there's still some rust to Ben's game, but not so much as preventing the Steelers from running their offense, from creating plays. And the way the ball is being spread around, you know, he's come back, no preseason, no time in the pocket with live people until the Giants game, of course. And you think maybe he just relies on people he knew from before. Nope. First game, 8 different receivers. Second game, 9. I think we were in the neighborhood of that again yesterday. So you throw all that in there with the defense that's already extremely fierce. If they play with a lead all year long, you know, if the offense generates points and the defense gets to play with a lead and get comfortable, some teams are going to have a real problem. This AFC North, always a bruising division, is shaping up to be like we've expected it before, because Cleveland, despite a bad opening day, that's a pretty good roster, and they're going to keep getting better too.
Charles, I think we're watching tonight on Monday Night Football the two best teams in the AFC, and I think there's a gap, yeah, really, step down from Baltimore and Kansas City to anybody else in the conference. Do you think that's a fair assessment at this point in time? Do the Steelers belong in that step down tier?
At this point in time, I think it is a fair assessment because, you know, getting Ben back is a big deal, obviously, but there's still a few things that need to happen. I think getting DeCastro back was big for them yesterday to help solidify the offensive line. I thought Okorafor acquitted himself nicely with J.J. Watt. Because, mm-hmm, you know, J.J. looks for the best matchup, as you guys well know, right? So he will go to different places, and he stayed with the young guy most of the game yesterday, didn't he? He kept thinking he was going to make it happen, and it never quite did. You know, we never saw that tremendous J.J. Watt play that we're used to getting, that game changer. But as far as, you know, the best two, I have no problem with saying that right now. Let's check again in week 8 and see where we are. You know, when things start to equal out a little bit, schedule-wise, could some injuries crop in on some of these teams? Will they continue to play the level we've seen in the early going? But, yeah, I mean, Kansas City and Baltimore, that makes perfect sense. And then the other teams who are going to get involved. Pittsburgh's a team I think that will get involved. Cleveland, I'm keeping an eye on because, you know, they got blown out by Baltimore. But I think they're a good roster, so I keep coming back to that. Cincinnati, they're not any threat to win the division by any stretch. But are you going to be able to take them as lightly as maybe you have been in the last 2-3 years? I don't think so. They seem like the type of team that's going to hang around, and they're going to screw up someone's season along the way. I'm just keeping it within the division. Mm-hmm. You know, the Chargers, I'm supposed to see the Chargers this week. That was a disappointing loss yesterday, rookie quarterback or not. At home, Carolina, I don't think that should happen. I mean, there's just no other way to put it, right? So you wonder about them out there because going into the season, I was very bullish on them. We'll see what happens. Denver, no longer, you know, the darlings of what we're going to see. But I think your assessment right now is spot on. But again, let's talk around week 8 and see where we are then. We could very well still have the same gap, or we could have some people getting involved in the fray.
Charles Davis, NFL on CBS. He was inside Heinz Field to watch the Steelers come back and win yesterday, in large part because of defense. Charles, what did you see click in the second half for them on the defensive side of the ball?
I just thought they were a little more cohesive. I thought in the first half that they were, you know, when Deshaun Watson, you know, extends a play, and you guys have seen him in his young career. Earlier in the career when he extended it, he was a lot more likely to go, wasn't he? Right? He'd make a move, he'd get out of the pocket. As we like to overuse and say, puts a foot in the ground and he goes. Now, yesterday, what did he do? He extended the heck out of plays. But he never really went, did he? He extended them, waited. Someone shook free. He stuck the ball on them and created some really nice drives. As time went on, I thought Pittsburgh did a much better job of, okay, if he's going to extend, they found receivers downfield a little bit better. On the interception, that was a bad play by Watson, but the guy was double covered. I mean, there were two Steelers there. They had figured it out and kind of, okay, you're going to do that. Okay, we're the guys. Let's hunt them up and find them. And they did. And then once that happened, it was Katie bar the door. And remember, Houston never could run the football. I mean, they tried. They never could run the football. So without that, totally one-dimensional. Now you're going to turn loose that pass rush. And it's not always a blitz. They get to you with regular people. You know, 3-4 man rushes. They create havoc with Hayward, of course, and Alu's been a revelation to me this year. He's played really, really well.
Charles, you said that Houston could never run the ball. The team the Steelers see this coming Sunday can run the ball, and they're committed to it. They have an identity. I think they're well coached. Yeah. And the quarterback has had the equivalent of probably one great NFL season, but he's picked up right where he's left off. What kind of challenge do the Tennessee Titans present, and how do you think they match up with the Steelers, especially their offense and the Steelers' defense?
Yeah, I think you presented it perfectly because it's not just that they can run the ball. It's true identity, flat-out commitment to it, which means they're not going to be daunted by a couple of series where they don't, you know, break down things, right? Henry's built to beat you up by the fourth quarter, you know? You know how it is, guys. I mean, look, it's no secret as a defensive back or what have you. Early in the game, you come up with a lot of pep and vigor and lay a pop on a 250-pound back, right? There you go, big boy. I'm going to be here all day. By the third quarter, you're not coming up quite as strong if he's getting to your level. By the fourth quarter, you've had enough of that. That's what Tennessee does with you with Derrick Henry. He doesn't turn down carries. His odometer is surprisingly low if you trace his career at Alabama into the pros, because he has not been he wasn't a feature guy at Bama except for his last year there. And he wasn't a feature guy at Tennessee until the last 2 years. So, you know, he hasn't used it all up at a rate you would think with a guy his size. So they will continue to hand it to him and feed it to him. And as long as the score dictates,
they won't be daunted. And that's where it's going to be interesting, because that offensive line and the Steelers' defensive front built to collide. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That offensive front of Tennessee, this is what we do. Look, their first-round pick was a kid named Isaiah Wilson out of Georgia. Most people had him as a second-round guy, but he fits Tennessee exactly what they want, and he's not even starting yet. I think they're still playing Kelly, Dennis Kelly, at the right side. But they picked him for a specific reason. This is our identity. We beat people up on the offensive line. That's what they want to do. So that's why I think it's a really good match. So, again, now this is where Pittsburgh's offense can play a real hand in this thing, because if they can get to the front and set the pace, maybe you get Tennessee out of being able to stay with the run for four quarters. And if that's the case, that might change things a little bit for you.
Charles Davis doing an outstanding job calling games for CBS now, was there yesterday for the Steelers and Texans. Charles, along those lines, what did you see out of the Steelers run game? They did it a little bit different. They used a lot of guys in the run game. They finished with Connor, but they didn't have him do it all by himself, which has kind of been Tomlin's calling card as a head coach. Yeah. So how did you come away from the game assessing the Steelers' ability to run the football?
Well, two things struck me. Number one, didn't you guys feel like Derek Watt was really getting his calling yesterday before he got hurt?
They were using him. Yeah, he was in there. They were going under center more than they usually do.
Because that was a discussion point, right? You know, here's Derek Watt, 14. And then, of course, that big run that Connor had in the previous game. Who was the lead guy on that run? Derek Watt. So a lot of people were, hey, what about this guy? You got a fullback. Let's use him. Well, I thought that was a big part of the game plan based on how Watt was used early before he got hurt. Then he gets hurt, so they have to change up what they're doing. They showed Vance McDonald back there a little, but they just changed the runs. But to your earlier point that you brought up, and again, dead on, now you're going deeper into it. Benny Snell, I get the sense that they said to Benny, look, you fumbled it a lot lately. We know we're going to get this fixed, but we think you're a heck of a good player. Here's a great opportunity. But whatever you do, don't put the ball on the ground this game, okay? And he took care of it, and he ran, you know, hard in between the tackles. And they turned loose Anthony McFarland. And he was drafted specifically as that change-up, home run-hitting type guy. And he got an opportunity. And, guys, maybe I'm wrong. There were probably 2 to 3 runs in there that as time goes on, I think those will pop bigger for him. Because that's what he's there for. I mean, that's what he gives them, a little more flash, a little more dash. And then, of course, Connor got going. But I thought yesterday Matt Filer played a terrific game. He was done a nice job pulling and leading. Marquise Pouncey from the center position did the exact same thing. DeCastro, of course, having him back, that changes everyone's complexion. And I thought Okorafor did a really nice job on the right side, especially because he had to deal with J.J. Watt the entire game. So I feel like this line is starting to come together, and DeCastro is going to be a big part of it. If he can stay healthy, it changes the complexion, the identity of what they're doing. Although the Dotson kid, he's a beat-em-up type of a guy, but you got to go at a 5-time pro bowler, you know, 2-3-time all-pro when you've got him, and that's DeCastro.
It's great to see Charles Davis now calling games on CBS. He'll get a lot of Steelers games, we hope, because he's calling the big ones over the next few months.
We don't mind that.
Nope. And you're calling it with a hell of a broadcaster who went to the Harvard of New York and Ian Eagle. So that always makes for.
Are you a Cuse grad?
Oh, of course,
too?
Charles. Oh, yeah.
Hey,
and every bit as insufferable as that would suggest.
Hey, as they say, when the Cuse is in the house, oh, my God, oh, my God. So
that's
there you go.
That's a John Wallace throwback, Charles. I'm old enough to remember that, my man.
Listen, I'm old school that way. I grew up in New York State, guys. And, I know a whole lot about the Cuse, and I got a whole lot of friends who went there, and I am working with an incredible guy by the name of Ian Eagle. And listen, the Syracuse Broadcasting School is not just a reputation. It's not just a reputation. People are getting it done out there.
Charles, you're the man. Can't wait to watch it. That other pregame show, CBS Sports Network, it starts at 8 a.m. Sunday, the NFL Today on CBS and KDK-TV at noon. And we'll get Steelers and Titans, a big one, a matchup of 2-3-0 teams at 1 p.m. Charles, you're the man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot. And that Steelers-Titans one's going to feel like the old days, isn't it? Those two teams beating on each other, that's going to be fun.
Yes, sir. There you go.
Charles Davis. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!